Hello everyone, this is Heather Varaich. I'm a cardiologist specializing in advanced heart failure and transplantation. And I am leading this series of podcasts focused on the intersection of heart failure and palliative care. This is a project that I'm lucky to have been invited from the American College of Cardiology. And this is a grant-based initiative on, quote, improving heart failure outcomes through personalized education or improving hope. And the goal of this program is to offer contemporary and alternative management approaches in heart failure care, reinforcing core concepts for frontline heart failure clinicians and specialists. In this series of four podcasts, I will be talking about the intersection of palliative care and heart failure. And one of the things I wanted to do, in addition to simply talking to you about it, was I reached out to others through Twitter and Facebook and actually crowdsourced questions from them in a hope to address those questions in this podcast. The response I received was great, which indicates that there's a lot of interest in this field. Heart failure is a growing condition, and palliative care is a therapy that many patients benefit from. But before we talk about the intersection, I wanted to address a question that is actually much simpler. And that question is, what is heart failure? And to really set the stage for what we're going to be talking about, I'll be reading from a section of my upcoming book called The State of the Heart, Exploring the History, Science, and Future of Cardiac Disease. This book is going to be out July 23rd. And this really is the first paragraph and the first section that this book starts on. And I think that it will help chart a path for where I'm hoping to go with this podcast. Darkness before dawn. Before I walked into my patient's room, I huddled outside with the rest of the team to make sure we were all on the same page. He had come to the hospital after he had contracted a serious infection while on a cruise ship with his wife in the Caribbean. Tests confirmed that he had bacteria growing in his blood, which he had likely contracted from using a catheter to urinate while on the cruise. We treated his infection with antibiotics, but we couldn't fix what was in his heart. He had been seeing a cardiologist regularly for his feebly beating heart, had been taking heart medications for decades, had even received a special pacemaker to help his heart beat synchronously. Despite all that had gone into trying to overcome his weakening heart, he was now fast approaching what seemed to be an imminent end. The entire medical team was convinced he didn't have long to live, maybe a few months at best. Everyone nodded in agreement one final time, like a football team about to take the field, or a group of paratroopers about to leap from the side of a plane. As we filed into his room, and after the customary introductions, the team settled into the room like a dense air freshener. As we had decided, I started talking slowly. While you have recovered from your infection, the one thing we cannot help you recover from is your heart failure. "Wait, what? I have heart failure?" he asked abruptly. Startled, he looked to his wife, who started crying. "He has heart failure? No one told us he has heart failure. What is heart failure?" she wailed. I was completely taken aback. These conversations can sometimes take their time to come to a full boil, but in this instance it had bubbled over almost as soon as the stove was lit. The patient had been living with heart failure for almost 2 decades, and by all accounts his cardiologist had been managing his heart failure diligently. Yet somehow the man had no idea what that was or what that meant. And worst of all, no one had ever told him that in those words either. For some reason, the word heart failure had never been used around him. I had to back up, change gears immediately, and scrap the conversation about his mortality for another day. But that day never came. He died 2 weeks later
in the intensive care unit. More people die of heart disease than any other disease in the world, including even cancer. In fact, deaths from heart disease are on the rise around the world and in the United States as well. When any heart disease becomes advanced enough, it frequently results in the development of heart failure. In the United States, heart failure is the most common reason for admission to the hospital. Heart failure strikes both the abject and the affluent, the young and the old. In the past few years, both the pop singer George Michael and former First Lady Barbara Bush died of heart failure. And yet, in many ways, heart failure is a disease few know about and fewer still understand. Even though the words heart failure are more likely to show up in common use these days than in times prior, many continue to ask the same question as my patient's wife. What is heart failure?
So heart failure is a chronic progressive condition in which the heart muscle is basically unable to pump enough blood to meet the body's needs for blood and oxygen. It basically means that the heart can't keep up with its workload. Now, why does heart failure occur? Well, it can occur due to multiple different reasons. Some patients who have heart attacks leads to the heart getting progressively weaker, and this can lead to heart failure. Some patients who have high blood pressure for a long time with the heart beating against high pressures can go on to develop heart failure. In some people, though, heart failure can occur without really any diagnosed reason. Many of these patients tend to be younger, and this is a condition referred to as non-ischemic cardiomyopathy. In many of these cases, it is assumed that a viral infection is one of the reasons why that condition might occur. But really, there are multiple conditions, including in some women after pregnancy, in some patients who receive chemotherapy, in some patients who received radiation therapy around the area of the heart, that can all lead to heart failure. I think the important thing to realize is that heart failure is a clinical diagnosis. So even though we have a lot of technology, in the end, heart failure is a condition that can be diagnosed at the bedside, depending on the patient's signs and symptoms with some basic tests. Heart failure affects millions of Americans, and as we grow older, more people actually live longer with heart failure symptoms. Despite the best medical treatments and interventions, heart failure remains a condition that is very difficult to manage. In fact, heart failure is a leading cause of hospital admissions amongst Americans. While there are many treatment options for patients with heart failure, including mechanical heart pumps called LVADs that can be surgically sewn into the heart, heart transplantation for some patients, medical therapies. Because of the underlying nature of heart failure, because of the symptom burden that it places, and because of the chronicity of the condition, heart failure is a disease process that is well suited for palliative care. But before we dive deeper, one of the important things that we have to address at this point is to actually answer what really is palliative care. On Twitter, Amy Holden Jones at aholdenj asks, "I suggest you deal with how patients can access palliative care and at the same time clarify the difference between it and hospice care." This was followed by Minna Walsh at Minna Walsh, who is a former president of the American College of Cardiology, who said palliative care is not synonymous with hospice. So let's answer that question. The WHO states that palliative care is an approach that improves the quality of life of patients and their families facing the problem associated with life-threatening illness through the prevention and relief of suffering by means of early identification and impeccable assessment and treatment of pain and other problems, physical, psychosocial, and spiritual. Palliative care provides relief from pain and other distressing symptoms. It affirms life and regards dying as a natural process. It intends neither to hasten or postpone death. It integrates the psychological and spiritual aspects of patient care. It offers a support system to help patients live as actively as possible until death. It offers a support system to help the family cope during the patient illness and in their own bereavement. It uses a team-based approach to address the needs of patients and their families, including bereavement counseling if indicated. It enhances quality of life and may also positively influence the course of illness. It is applicable early in the course of illness in conjunction with other therapies that are intended to prolong life and includes those investigations needed to better understand and manage distressing clinical complications. Palliative care can be delivered either directly by the treating team, such as the primary care physician or the cardiologist or the hospitalist that the patient is seeing. This is called primary palliative care. Or it can be provided by experts who specialize in palliative care, which includes both nurses and physicians. This is called secondary palliative care. Palliative care can be provided to patients at any point during the trajectory of their illness. And yet hospice is a subset of palliative care, which is reserved for patients with an expected survival of about 6 months. Hospice care can be delivered both at the patient's home or in a hospice facility, but it is different from palliative care because it is reserved for the sickest of the sick patients with a very limited survival, while palliative care can really be received by any patient with a serious illness. The goal of both palliative and hospice care is to improve patients' quality of life. In some studies, patients receiving hospice care or palliative care have also noted an increase in survival. Now, while this is a controversial finding, to me what this means is that palliative care does not necessarily shorten someone's life, which is a fear that many patients have. In fact, the one thing that I can say with certainty is that palliative care certainly improves quality of life in patients with serious illness, especially patients with heart failure. This has been shown both in observational studies as well as in randomized clinical trials. But despite this knowledge, palliative care is grossly underutilized in patients with heart failure. This is because of many different reasons, including the uncertain trajectory of heart failure, the difficulty people have in assessing survival in patients with heart failure, and also questions about how best to integrate palliative care with conventional therapy that patients with heart failure receive. I hope to address these questions and many more in the next series of this podcast, and I will do so while also sharing some of the really heart-wrenching stories of patients with heart failure that I've had the opportunity to write. Thank you for listening, and I hope you will listen the rest in the series.